This passage has zero, zip, zilch, nada. Nothing to do with a believer's positional justification. That was already achieved at the moment of belief. This is talking about their ongoing sanctification. Hey everybody, welcome back. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and you are watching Bible Line. Today we are not reacting to any kind of video, nor are we answering a user-submitted question, but instead we're going to begin a series of videos that address commonly used verses in the comments section. I have made it a habit to refrain from going into the comment section because, to be quite transparent with you, most of it is the same as far as the attacks go. There are two prevailing views that are in the comment section. There are those who believe the Reformed view of eternal security, which is to say that a believer's ongoing works are what keeps them eternally secured. And one of the verses we're going to look at today is probably the most commonly used verse to push and promote that theological interpretation. And the other prevailing view in the comment section of most of our videos is that once a person believes, they are eternally secured because they have been justified permanently before God by faith in Christ, and that no amount of sin could remove that pronouncement of justification on that believer. That's the once saved, always saved crowd. Now, I think it's important to understand here that you know from the outset, I'm not going to change my mind. I know exactly why I believe what I believe, and I'm not going to allow cherry-picked verses to destroy my faith. But there may be some of you who, when you saw the title of this video, you were excited because you finally get a clear interpretation of this verse. And I want to encourage you that it's a good thing to feel that way, but I want you to understand that no amount of phrasing that I do or way of explanation of a verse is going to change the reality of Scripture. The Bible very clearly teaches that a person believes and then they receive eternal life and they are sealed until the day of redemption. They are justified and have peace with God. They are positionally in their standing, redeemed and justified with God. That's not a certain theological view. That's the Bible. Reformed theology comes in very subtly and then ends up strongly twisting the arm of sinning Christians and dangling their salvation over them and saying, if you're really saved, you won't do these things. And that's where we get to in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 5. Let's read this verse together. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So the proponents of the Calvinistic perseverance of the saints and lordship theology will say that this verse teaches, and this we've seen this in the comments section over and over and over again ad nauseum, they will say you must examine yourselves to prove if you're really in the faith. And the way that the Reformed theological view takes in the faith, they mean that Paul was saying you need to check by an analysis of your good works to see if you're really saved. That's what they mean. That's what they think in the faith means. I'm going to read to you probably one of the most popular proponents for Calvinistic theology today, John MacArthur, from his book, The Gospel According to Jesus. He says this, quote, "Doubts about one's salvation are not wrong so long as they are not nursed and allowed to become an obsession. Scripture encourages self-examination. Doubts must be confronted and dealt with honestly and biblically. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul wrote, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? The admonition is largely ignored and often explained away in the contemporary church." That's John F. MacArthur Jr., The Gospel According to Jesus. On page number 190, he makes that claim. All right, back to the topic at hand here. I first just want to break down this quote, and I want you to see that there is no peace and security in the Calvinistic doctrine. He says something here that is impossible to be a reality. And those of you who have questioned your salvation, who have been led into Calvinistic teaching, know exactly what I'm talking about when I reread this section of his quote. He says, "Doubts about one's salvation are not wrong so long as they are not nursed and allowed to become an obsession." That is exactly what happens when a person lives their life doing everything the Bible says to do to bring about eternal life, yet cannot get away from their sin. That is the logical conclusion. There is nothing else to do but obsess about knowing that you're saved. And if your good works are proof, how will you know how many good works? When will you know that you've reached the security that the Bible says you can have? There's no other option but to become an obsession. But John MacArthur sits in his lofty perch, and he sits behind his educational board, his books, and his writing, and his circle of friends, and he stays removed from you, although he logically would have to doubt his own salvation every time that he makes a mistake. And there are other teachers like Piper and Sproul and Washer who have publicly doubted their salvation. And we look at them and say, oh, wow, what great men. No, they're failing to trust alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So let's get into the interpretation of this passage here. What is clearly being said? Is Paul saying that a person has to look at their works to prove that they're really saved? Let me just tell you this here, that we have to understand context. And those of you who don't like this channel and are here simply for mocking and shaming, you've rolled your eyes so hard they may have fallen out of your head. But context is very important. It's important that we don't ignore clear statements about the audience in this letter. Paul is writing to Corinthian Christians. He has already made two, I think, very important statements to prove that these people were already saved by grace through their faith in Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to look at is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 through 22. Paul says this, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." This is the same word sealed that is used in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, and the same word for earnest. What does Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 say? "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed." Note that. After this thing was done, believed, the verse goes on, "ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." We're saved because of God's glory. That salvation is applied to us. The sin payment is imputed to a person who, by faith, trusts in Jesus Christ as their sin bearer, that what he did on the cross paid for their sins. That's what this verse is saying. After that ye believed, you were sealed. So it would be illogical to conclude that now when Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22, he says, "Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath appointed us is God, who hath also sealed us." That seal, according to Paul's other writing to the church at Ephesus, is going to expire upon the redemption of the purchased possession, which is either upon the person's death or at the rapture. And for tribulation believers, it's at the second coming of Christ. I don't see how he could write one statement in verse 5 of chapter 13 to nullify what he's already clearly said here. He's talking to established believers. They have a sin problem. They have an ongoing sanctification issue. Look now in chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 through 3 say, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart." These people, of which Paul has led to Christ, and they put their faith in him, they are the standing test. So, why does Paul say to examine themselves? Well, I think he's making a tongue-in-cheek statement. Because throughout the entire letter, and throughout most of Paul's writings, there's always some type of attack or demand for proof of his authenticity as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He addressed this in all of his letters, and 2 Corinthians is with no exception. So if you look at the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, let's go there, look in verse 1. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now what he's saying here is, I'm not lying to you. This is the third time that I'm approaching you about this issue. Verse 2, he said, I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now I write to them which heretofore have sinned. Now this is interesting. He's talking to people for the second time. You're still dealing with this sin. You read all of 1 Corinthians to understand the very specific details in which they were sinning. And to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. He loves him, but he knows, I will not spare judgment and chastisement upon you because you're sinning. And then he says something very interesting in verse 3, which I think shades and colors verse 5. He says, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. What does he mean by that? He's saying, he is repeating another criticism of his apostleship, of his authority. Is Christ really in Paul? And that's what he says, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. Then he gets to verse 5, and he says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. I believe what Paul is saying here is to look at yourself. If you want to know that I'm a genuine apostle, look at yourself. You've been converted, as he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. You've been washed, you've been justified, you've been sanctified, you have a new nature. If I am false, then you are false. And that's why he says, prove your own selves. They should be able to look at what they believed and say sufficiently, this is what the gospel message is. We have believed it, and therefore we have eternal life. But why were they doubting Paul? Because they were failing in their progressive sanctification. This passage has zero, zip, zilch, nada. Nothing to do with a believer's positional justification. That was already achieved at the moment of belief. This is talking about their ongoing sanctification. So in the faith here cannot mean salvation. It means, are you walking in obedience? This is what the faith demands, that you not defraud one another, that you not fornicate, that you not join yourself with a harlot. You know, they were having a great time. I don't want to be crude here, but it is what it is. They were boasting about incestuous relationships in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says the faith demands that you walk away from those things. He's saying in the faith, examine if you're in the faith. Are you doing the things that are necessary for progressive sanctification? Is there a fruit-abiding relationship between you and Christ? Not is there an eternal security passage or verse verification here. And that's why he says, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? I think he's arguing sarcastically here. He says, you know that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you're a reprobate, those who have not put their faith in Christ. So there's no reality in which this verse is teaching that a sinning Christian was actually never a Christian at all. That's bad Reformed theology. That's the idea of spurious faith, and it's sad that many people in the comment sections of our videos like to lobby this verse as a stone on the glass house and say, oh, we got them now, we got them now. Well, you need to keep reading. Look at verse 6. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. So even though you behave in this way, I'm encouraging you not to do that because of who we are in Christ. And you know that I'm legitimate because you're saved. You've believed the gospel. That verifies my authenticity. That's what Paul is saying. He's reversing the demand in these three verses back onto themselves. He's saying, if I'm not true, then you need to look at yourself. When he asked the question in verse 5, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? He is expecting them to say, yes, we know that. They know that. They know that they're sealed. They know that they have been justified and moved from death unto life because of faith in Jesus Christ. So then what Paul says to them in verses 6 and 7 is, don't act like what we've been delivered from. I hope that brings clarity. And for those of you who will, you know, you'll look in the comment section and see that people are going to twist my words and they're going to twist clear scripture. The Bible already very clearly says that justification happens immediately upon belief. You can look at John 5:24, Acts 13, 38 through 39, Romans 3, 24 through 26, and Romans 5, 1 through 2. I think those are sufficient to look at. So I think that 2 Corinthians 13:5 is dealing with progressive sanctification of a believer, and it's also arguing from the point of a sarcasm, where Paul is saying, you question me in verse 3, look at yourselves. You've put your faith in Christ, therefore you are saved, but you're not walking in the faith. So let's not walk as the reprobates who do not know Christ, because that's all they have is their sin nature. Let's walk as those who are justified and are being sanctified. If you have a question, send it to us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. But don't send it if you think that this is a verse that I've misunderstood. You can just leave a comment in the comment section. Take care, and until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. God bless you. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.